the essence of beauty and harmony in a relationship.
So we are, first of all, I'll introduce myself. I'm Tasha. If you don't know who I am, I'm the pastor of community life here at Storehouse Church, and I am glad to be with you today. And we are in the second week of our series about communication, and our series is called What's That You Said? Communicating More Better. So this series is all about helping us communicate more betterly, most bestest, whatever you want to say, whether you're trying to improve your communication with your spouse, with your kids, with your neighbors, your coworkers, those that you come in contact with. We're praying that these 4 weeks talking about communication will help us all to learn some biblical principles so that we can deepen our connection with others, build greater trust and respect, and improve our overall relational health. Now, communication and relationship are really two sides of the same coin. You can't be in relationship without communication, and you can't communicate without being in relationship. And this is absolutely critical, crucial to God, because God in his very being is relationship. He is relationship. He is a picture of a beautiful and harmonious triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in relationship. And he's created us to be both in relationship with him and to be in relationship with others. And the beauty of that is that we are called here on this earth to manifest some of the harmonious and beautiful interaction we see with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit on our earth, in our earthly relationships. We are called to be witnesses of his being in our relationships. So our God, who is a relational God, he's really concerned with how we communicate with one another and how we relate to one another. Two sides of the same coin. But let's be honest, it's not easy to be in relationship, to communicate. It is not an easy task if we're doing it well. And last week, Pastor JR talked about our words and how our words matter. They have the power to destroy and they have the power to build up. And they have this really powerful illustration of a pile of bricks. And he said, we can, as people of God, use our words one word at a time to build others up. One life-affirming, love-affirming word, phrase at a time to build others up and show them their value. We can also use a brick and we can just chuck it through a window, right? And that person is left picking up the shards of glass that are left from our destructive words. Our words have power. We can choose them. We can use them to destroy or to build up. The Bible has a lot to say about words. It also has a lot to say about listening. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Our key verse is found in the book of James. Now, James is the brother of Jesus. It's found in the New Testament. And James is really, I love James because he's just straight to the point. I mean, he doesn't mess around. He just goes straight to the point. And James has to say this in chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So if relationship and communication are really two sides of the same coin of what it means to be in a relationship, we can't be in a relationship without communicating. We can't communicate without being in a relationship. Speaking and listening is what makes up that communication, right? And it's abundantly clear again and again that we are called to listen more than we speak. There's the phrase that says we've been given two ears, one mouth, so that we should listen twice as much as we speak. But I don't know if that logic doesn't necessarily work the entire time, because we also have very vital organs that are just one. But in terms of you get it, you know, like we're supposed to listen more than we speak. It is really, really important that we speak less than we listen. But even in that, it's difficult. It's not just taking the words that are coming out of your mouth and opening my ears and registering those words. That's not what listening really is. Communicating something, it's one person who has a thought or a feeling going on, And they attempt to use these really ambiguous things like words and tones and gestures to somehow let the other person know what that meaning, what that feeling is, what their thought is to another person. And then the other person is there trying to receive this, and they're attempting to use all these ambiguous things to somehow find the meaning and the feeling and the thought that was meant by the other person. It's really difficult work. You can have a conversation that are entirely two different meanings, right? Have you ever had a conversation with someone where they're saying something, you think you're hearing something, and you realize later that you've just completely missed the boat? I mean, you're just not even on the same page, not on the same planet. You're talking about two entirely different things. There's a country song. Who likes country in here? Woo, okay. I can't say that I'm a huge country fan, but I do like it every once in a while. There's a country song. And the chorus to this country song says, "She said, I'm mad. He heard, I'm leaving. She said, I need your attention. He heard, I want you to crawl. She said, I'm sad. And he heard, it's all your fault." Do you relate to this? Have you ever been in a situation like that where it's just you're not picking up what the other person is laying down? You're not on the same page. I remember when Adam and I started dating very early on, we're getting to know each other and we're talking about I get very emotional in a lot of different circumstances. I mean, in terms of like, my tears, they come out very frequently. And so I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when I'm bored. I just cry. I cry a lot. And they're overactive tear ducts that are happening. And so Adam was saying, you know, it's beautiful that you express yourself that way. I really wish that I could cry, but my tear ducts, they dried up when I was in the third grade. And I'm like, meeting this man, but I'm thinking that it's pretty special. So I'm already like thinking he might be someone special. So I'm left from this conversation and I'm like, oh my goodness, he cannot cry. This is a big consideration for me. Like, he will not cry if we were to get married. There is no tears coming down. There is no tears with our first child being born. This is all my hypothetical mind's going. Nothing. There's going to be no tears from this man the rest of our lives. Well, I would like to say that I knew he was joking, but I didn't. And it took me another couple months to figure out that he actually did have tear ducts and he can cry. But even in this, he said something to be funny, right? And I heard life-altering revelation that would take some consideration. I mean, just two different things. And that's just the beginning. We have lots, lots more of misunderstandings, right? But we love each other and we work hard and it's worth it. We all have stories of misunderstanding meaning. I mean, the gap between what is being said and what is being heard is sometimes enormous. And it seems almost insurmountable to actually go through this and go past this chasm and actually reach the other person. We spend 80% of our life communicating. 80% of our life is communicating. We know that we have a relational God. Our God's created us for relationship. He's the picture of relationship, and he gives us the gift of relationship. But the average American has about a 12-second attention span. 12 seconds. That's like maybe a little bit more than a goldfish. I mean, it's not very much. And so with all of this, our attention span and the fact that we're using these ambiguous things like words and tones and gestures to try and convey meaning. And on top of all of that, we have these filters that we're using, right? So the hearer has their personality, their temperaments, their way that they see the world, their convictions, and they're filtering everything that's being said to them through this filter. All of that stuff doesn't seem to bode well for communication. But let me ask you a question. What is the goal of listening? When we listen, what is our goal? What's your goal when you listen to your kids at the end of the day? What's your goal when you are listening to your neighbor and you're carrying all your groceries in and they catch you in the driveway and you're listening to them share about their life or what's going on? What's your goal in that interaction? What's your goal when you're listening to a coworker at lunch tell you about their marital problems? What's your goal? as you are listening to your spouse, share about the things that have frustrated and burdened them from this day. What's your goal? There's a great quote by Stephen Covey in the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, and it says this: communication is the most important skill in life. We spend most of our waking hours communicating, but consider this. You've spent years learning how to read and write, years learning how to speak, but what about listening? What training or education have you received that enables you to listen so that you really deeply understand another human being from an individual's own frame of reference? I love this because it points to the goal, what our goal should be in listening, at the end where he says, to listen so that you really deeply understand another human being from an individual's own frame of reference. The goal of listening is to understand. The goal is not to parrot back the words that someone says to you so that you can be like a robot and repeat everything they say to you. It's not just to register the words that are coming in so that you have them somewhere in this brain and you can kind of shoot them back at them if they're asking, have you listened? Well, check that box. Yes, I did. You said exactly this. But did you understand the meaning? Did you understand? Did you listen to understand what was going behind the message? The goal of listening is to understand. In Proverbs 18:2, it reads, a fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. I love the Proverbs. I got another one later. That's a real doozy. It's good. The fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. When our goal isn't to understand, the fullness of what God intends for that relationship cannot be experienced. The fullness of forgiveness, the fullness of healing, the fullness of reconciliation, the fullness of joy. When we listen to actually understand what the meaning is behind what they're saying, we are increasing our capacity for empathy and compassion. We have a higher chance to extend forgiveness. We want to be people who are living out of the fullness of God's relational goals for us. We want to be people who are living out the fullness of relationship. We want to be people whose relationships are marked by the redemptive work of Jesus. So in your mind's eye, I'd love you to picture someone who perhaps maybe hasn't listened well at times in your life. And I want you to think about the feelings that were associated with not feeling heard. I imagine there's words like diminished, or like you don't matter, or maybe misunderstood. Now I want you to think about someone who has listened to you well, that they've heard you, that they've taken time, that their goal was to listen to understand. And I imagine the words that you might use to describe these interactions are, they made you feel like someone who had worth, who had value, who was cared for, loved, and understood. So if the goal of listening is not just to register the words, but to actually understand, then we need to recognize that we all have mental maps. All of us are working out of a template because of how we were raised, our family background, because of our own convictions, because of our personality types, because of whatever makes us us, our experiences, and we're working out of these mental maps. And all of us tend to think that our mental map is the objective truth of reality, that we objectively truly see the world as it should be seen. We have we have territory on the true reality that we live in. So when we think this way, when we think that our mental maps is the objective way to see all things, then when we are interacting with somebody else, it creates one of two scenarios. One is, well, poor them, because man, such a shame they don't have the right mental map. And such a shame that they just don't see the world as it should be seen. So we tend to what? We look down on the person in front of us and we think of them maybe as being unenlightened or dumb. They just don't have the enlightenment that we've received. And the other thing is we think that maybe they do see the world as we see it and they're just choosing to be obstinate. And so then they're just destructive. then that person in front of me is the enemy. They're no longer on my team. They're against me. So when we believe that our mental maps are the objective truth to reality, they alienate the person in front of us. But when we listen to understand, we choose to suspend our mental map so that we can enter into the mental map of someone else. We choose to actually say, I am going to try to understand this from their point of view. That I am going to try to understand how with their background, the way that they view things, the way that they've been brought up, their experiences, their convictions, how they could perhaps think or see a certain way. And when we choose to listen in this way, it is in fact a spiritual discipline. This is the work of Jesus here on the earth. Honestly, and I think we often gloss over the importance of listening. But when we choose to listen to somebody and actually enter their mental map, it grows our compassion and empathy for the other person, and it helps us to love them better, as Jesus would have us love them. And listening, when we do it this way, communicates a few different things. It communicates, one, their worth. When we listen well with the goal to understand, we communicate in agreement with God that the person in front of us has worth. They are significant, they have value, and they matter. Jesus did this again and again in his ministry. He listened to understand, and through that interaction and what followed, he would breathe life over that person. There's a great story in the book of Matthew, and it talks about the two blind men who are on the side of the road, and they're beggars. And Jesus is walking along, and he's walking with his disciples and a huge crowd of people that are following him. And these people, these two blind men on the side of the road, they're yelling out to Jesus, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And the crowd is loud, and they're not being heard. And so they yell out even louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us." And that's when the disciples around Jesus and the crowd that's following them, they say, "Shh, quiet. What you have to say isn't important. What you have to say is not what Jesus needs to be concerned about. Shh, this is what matters." But what Jesus does in this interaction is he hears them and he goes up to them. And he says, "What is it that you want?" And these two men who have no societal influence at all, they say, "We want our sight." And what scripture says after that is compassion in Jesus rose. The compassion of God rose because he listened and he understood. And so he gave them their sight. He communicated again and again to those that may not have value in our society, in our world, how it works, that they have value, that they matter, that they're worth it. When we listen to another person, you are saying that you have value enough for my time, my attention. You're communicating to that person the posture of God toward them. And this is a spiritual discipline. This is bringing the kingdom here to earth. Another thing that listening does when we listen to understand is it communicates, "I am for you. I am in your corner. I want good things for you. I am for you." In third grade, I had a fantastic guidance counselor who we had this little group for kids who have gone through divorce. And so I was in this little group with this guidance counselor, and she listened to understand. I still remember there was probably about four of us in this group, and her posture towards us was always one of hearing our story. I felt warm and I felt like I had value in her presence. And I remember that she suggested we have a big sister through Big Sisters, Big Brothers. So not only did she listen to understand, but she advocated for me. She said, "I'm for you. I'm in your corner. I want good things for you." And then my big sister, through the awesome organization of Big Sisters, Big Brothers, was another person in my life who communicated that I am for you, that you have worth. So that's, we communicate, when we listen to understand, we communicate the person in front of us that we are with them, we are in their corner. And lastly, we communicate when we listen to understand that we are with the person in front of us, that we recognize the person in front of us is not our enemy. So often we get confused and we think the person in front of us is our enemy, that they are out to get us. That because their mental map and my mental map are entirely different, because I just can't see how they could possibly think the way that they think, because they seem antagonistic to the way that I think, we view that person as the enemy. And what Satan does is that is all that he does, is he brings about fracture and brokenness in our relationships. He loves to see when within our relationships there's division. So we need to recognize that we are in a spiritual war, that there are principalities that are out to get our relationships. That God is a God of wholeness, that God wants health in your relationships, but there is an enemy who's seeking to destroy those relationships. And so when we truly believe that the person in front of us is not the enemy, but the enemy is the father of lies, the father of deception, then we turn away from the person in front of us, and it's no longer me versus you. It's us together against the enemy. And when two believers who do this in the name of Jesus, and they bind the powers of Satan, and they say that he will have no place here in this relationship, there are powerful things that can happen and unfold. Forgiveness and reconciliation and healing can happen. Those are possible. But we have to recognize the person in front of us is not the enemy. When we listen to understand, we communicate, I am with you. There is no I win or you win. There's only we win or we lose. So the goal of listening is to understand. When we listen to understand, we communicate to the other person they have value, that we're for them, and that we're with them. But even with all of this great information, all of these things as to why we should listen well, it still is really difficult. And so I would like to talk a little bit about some blocks to good listening and how we can listen well, practically speaking. But before that, I have a fantastic clip for you, and it's from one of my favorite comedians, Brian Regan. Any Brian Regan fans? Woo! Okay, yeah, a couple. That's awesome. So, it's great. Oh, I'm excited that you guys are going to get to discover Brian Regan. So, he has this fantastic clip about the me monster. So, me monster is somebody who talks about me all the time, and, you know, that's the me monster. So, he's at a dinner party. In this clip, he's at a dinner party, and he's talking about a social fantasy that he has in regards to responding to this me monster.
What is it about the human condition? People get something out of that. That's why I have a social fantasy. I wish I was one of the 12 astronauts who have been on our moon. They must love knowing they can beat anybody's story whenever they want. They can sit back quietly at a dinner party while some other person, some me monster, is doing his thing and let him go. Let him run with the line while you be quiet. Oh, really? Let him have his moment. Yeah, I'm a big traveler. I have my business. I got my own global enterprise. I got to check. You know, driving in the Autobahn because I keep a fleet of sports cars over in Zurich. You know, there's a Swiss account that I want to check out. Not Kilimanjaro, but you might have to cancel that. You know, runways in Aspen are a lot shorter the first time you go in there. You know, you have the Pacific Rim Company. I'm going to try to take that over. And blah, blah, blah. It's global enterprise. I walked on the moon. Well, you have the floor, Moonwalker. You know, you mentioned driving on the Autobahn. That reminded me. Once I was driving in the Sea of Tranquility. In my lunar rover. And I, too, was worried about our speeds, and I remembered, wait, we're the only ones on the moon.
I love that, Brian Regan. I was in the Sea of Tranquility on my lunar rover. So there's some blocks to listening, and Brian Regan illustrates one of those. So we have the me monster, right? Talking. Obviously, the me monster's got stuff going on, right? They got issues. They got their own mental map. They're dealing with their own stuff. And what Brian Regan, poor Mr. Brian Regan, is doing in this situation is he's rehearsing exactly what he's going to say if he were to have walked on the moon as this person is talking. And so that's one of the things that we tend to do is, right, we rehearse what we're going to say, our response, our manifesto as to why whatever they believe is wrong or, whatever our point is, our story that's going to up them. He talks earlier in this clip about never be a two wisdom tooth type person. Tell a story about losing two wisdom teeth, because there's always people out there who have lost four wisdom teeth. And then they talk about how like the roots have been there. It's been impacted and the roots were like, all around the other roots. And, so never be a two wisdom. Don't tell a story like that. I shouldn't have said that. Just erase that and we'll go backwards. I was trying to do what Brian Regan does, and I am not a comedian. I'm a preacher. So that's what I'm going to stick to. Okay. So we can rehearse and we can plan what we're going to say before the person is even done talking. So we're not actually listening to understand. It says in Proverbs 18:13, whoever gives an answer before he listens is stupid and shameful. Proverbs, they really get you. Whoever gives an answer before he listens is stupid and shameful. Another thing that's a block to good listening is mind reading. So we assume we know how the other person feels. So you don't need to listen because you already know. This can be particularly difficult in longer relationships where we think we've seen it all. We know exactly what they're thinking, that we've been around this person long enough that we don't actually have to listen really because we know exactly how they're going to respond. But what happens when we don't listen to understand in these relationships? So we don't give the other person the chance to change, and we don't give them a chance to express themselves, which in and of itself is showing love. So rehearsing, mind reading, placating, agreeing too quickly. We don't really want to get down to the nitty gritty of what's being said. We don't want to get really down to the meaning and the feeling behind it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to say something like, I know you're right, I'm sorry. I know you're right, I'm sorry. But we're shortcutting the process. We're short-circuiting this chance for the other person to be heard and feel understood. Judging, we evaluate the other person and what they've said, rather than really trying to understand where they're coming from. We have our opinions on what's being said and why that person is saying them. And so we judge them without actually trying to understand how they see the world. And another block is advising. So we're suggesting things, we're trying to find solutions, and instead of actually listening to understand. What we don't realize that is in those situations, if we actually were to listen, we would find that often people are farther along the road than we think they are. That your enlightening idea, your teaching point that you want to give them is actually somewhere there. And it's them who needs to actually arrive at expressing it. So again, we're short-circuiting the process. And loving people well is not quick, right? That it's not... To have a good relationship, it involves taking time. So what's your go-to block to listening? What are things that you tend to go to? Or are you like me and you just like to dabble in a little bit of everything? Keep it fresh, keep it interesting. That's how I like to go. So if those are some blocks to good listening, what are some ways in which we can actually listen well, when we can actually listen to understand? One of those is reflective listening. And reflective listening is in the title. We are reflecting back what we hear the other person say. So we're making sure that we're not misunderstanding them. We don't assume that we've got it right. But we say things like, so what I hear you saying is, we draw out more from the other person by repeating what we hear so that they can elaborate and they can either change what we believe about what they're saying or add some more detail to it. Another one is interpretive listening. This is really the exercise of getting in the mental map of someone else. We're trying to understand the meaning and the feeling behind what the message is that they're saying to us. We're trying to understand the big picture and the heart behind it. A question you can ask is, it sounds like, and you listen to the deeper meaning. It doesn't necessarily mean, as you suspend your mental map and you go into someone else's mental map, that you agree with them. It doesn't mean that you agree with the way that they are, that they believe or think on a certain thing. But it does mean that you could say with confidence, I've listened to, understood that person, and I know that if I were given, if I were in the same situation, if this person, if I had the same background and convictions and temperament, I could see how that person would arrive at that thought or belief. It's not out of the realm of possibility. And even if you may not agree, your compassion and your empathy has grown towards that person. It's hard in particular when what we're hearing is about us, right? So if someone came up to me and they said, Tasha, you're a jerk. And I immediately, what's happening is my brain's firing that there's this kind of fight or flight response. I'm going to like defend myself. Or I'm going to run away. I'm going to do something crazy in my brain. All these physiological responses are happening. But in that moment, listening, how can we listen even when all of this stuff is happening? Well, maybe if I were to actually suspend my mental map, enter into their mental map, and hear their points of view of how the tone that I said this, you know, said affected them that way, I could say, okay, maybe I could see why you would say that I am a jerk. Maybe it's not true at all, that there's no evidence of truth to it. But our security in Jesus still allows us to listen to someone else and not be dependent on what they have to say about us. Our security in Jesus, the one who says that we are, the one who says that we are worth it, that we are worth fighting for, the one who says that he loves us. If that is where we are finding our identity, it matters a little bit less, even if an untrue statement is said about us. And the last thing is this, asking good questions. This includes open-ended questions. So not just those yes or no questions, but the ones that allow the other person to elaborate. They're non-leading questions, no manipulative questions. You're not trying to have them arrive at a certain response by asking this question. And this helps in us expanding the picture of where the other person is coming from, or it may help us in narrowing down exactly what is bothering the other person. Becoming a better listener hangs not on one big resolve to do better in a single conversation, but on developing a pattern of little resolves for particular people in specific moments. This is a thing, a muscle that we are practicing again and again. So as I conclude, I want to just point to a bigger spiritual truth, and this is that we have a creator who is always speaking to us. That we have a God who is speaking to us at all times. And he's asking that we would listen to him. He's saying, if you only understood, if you listened to me to understand, then you would find that there would be kingdom things that happen in your relationship with me, that you would turn and be healed, that you would turn and be forgiven. Jesus spoke a lot about parables, or spoke in parables. And they were confusing to some people, but for those that chose to listen to understand, it said, he says in Mark that they would be ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. He's saying, if you listen to my parable, if you turned and you understood this parable, then you will turn and be forgiven. There will be healing there. And that's the gospel story. That's when we listen and we understand, we will turn and we will be healed and forgiven in our relationship with Christ. We will turn and have life in him. That's true on the big picture. It's true on the daily picture, that he's speaking to us at all times through his word, through creation, through other people, through the Holy Spirit inside of us. And we can choose to listen to his voice and what he's saying to us each day, or we can choose to listen to the lies that are in this world. But when we listen to the truth, we are able to swim in the reality of his love for us, his grace for us, the redemptive work that he's done for us, the forgiveness that he has for us, and we can have a healed, restored relationship with him, and we can view ourselves properly. In addition to the fact that God is speaking to us, he asks us to listen to understand him. He also says that I am listening to you. It says in Psalm 116, verses 1 through 2, I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. We have a king whose postures towards us. He says, I want to hear from you. I want to hear about the big things in your day. I want to hear about the small things in your day. I want to hear about the things that worry you. I want to hear about the things that you're excited about. I want to hear about your relationship with this person. I want to hear from you. You are my child, and I want to hear from you. His ear is always turned towards his children. He wants to hear from us. And not only that, sometimes we just don't have the words to say, right? We don't even know how to communicate what's going on in this. What's happening? And in those situations, it says that we have a Holy Spirit that's living in us as believers that groans on our behalf, that speaks to our King on our behalf. Not only does he say, I'm listening to you at all times, but even when you don't have the words, there is a being that knows you better. I am a being that knows you better than yourself. And I am listening to you even then. So I'm going to ask you a few questions as we close, for us to ponder a little bit, and then I'm going to close us in prayer. So how will you go from here communicating with those you're in relationship with that they have value? How will you go from here listening to those around you and communicating that you are for them? How will you listen to understand and communicate that you are with those you are in relationship with? Who doesn't think that they are worth it because of the way you are not listening to them? And how does listening to God first change how you listen to others? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are a God that is for us. You're a God that listens to us, even the things that we don't know how to verbalize, that you are there with us in all of that. Father, we thank you that your attentive ear, your listening, communicates that you are, that we have value and worth as your children, that you are with us and that you are for us. God, I thank you that you speak. Father, I pray that you would open our ears to hear from you. I pray that we would lean into your voice more than we lean into other voices, the ones that aren't telling us the truth. Father, I pray for the relationships in this space, God, and there's a whole network of relationships here. There's a big kind of web of relationships and lots of people in our lives, God, and I pray for those relationships that your glory, your kingdom would be seen in them. That through our listening, that as we listen to understand, Father, that pieces of your kingdom, Lord, will be found in those relationships. God, I pray for those in this space that maybe there's some really difficult relationships and it's hard to know even know how to do this. God, I pray that they would take great comfort knowing that you are a God that hears, that you're a God that listens, and we can pour out our cries to you, pour out even these relationships, give them to you, Lord, and know that you are working in them. Father, we love you. We commit ourselves to you. We commit our relationships to you. God, may we be people who love as you have loved us. You're such a good God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.